What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today.
Check 1 2 1 2. Testing 1 2 1 2. Check 1 2 1 2. Testing 1 2 1 2. So yeah, before I start the show, I want to let y'all know today's show is sponsored by a new urban fiction novel called Three Black Boys, Tomorrow After Supper. You can get the book on Amazon. The link is also in the description box to purchase the book, Three Black Boys, by Zangba Thompson. Also, this show is sponsored by blackandpriceless.com, who got some nice hoodies, nice shirts. Actually got some of these shirts. They fire, especially I like this white one right here, but they're nice. They got a nice, you know, for women, for men also. So blackandpriceless.com. If you want to purchase any of these things, both of these links are in the description box for the book as well as the clothing. So you're also going to see the banners flashing on the screen. If you want your banner there, reach out, info@DoggyDiamondsTV, and we get it cracking like that. So what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. This is Doggy Diamonds TV. Hold on, let me get my glasses. Let me get started. Going to talk to y'all tonight about some real, real stuff. For motivational purposes, respectfully, not to knock anybody's lifestyle, not to judge anybody's lifestyle, or you know, you do what you do, and I'm not here to fight with people about how smoking is good and drinking is good and all that. I'm not here to do it. I'm just telling you why I don't do it. And I think I got a valid reason, and I think many people will relate to me. Like I said, you can see these two banners, blackandpriceless.com. I actually made that banner for them. And I like their clothes. They sent me some nice clothes. I should have had a shirt on right now, but I don't. So blackandpriceless.com. The link is in the description box to purchase some clothes from them. And this book right here, Three Black Boys by Zangba Thompson. That link is in the description box, to paperback, ebook, or whatever. So you can purchase both of those people's product. The links are in the description box. So, this is actually a podcast. I'm going to take this audio and put this on, Spotify and iTunes and use it as my audio. So, I wanted to talk to y'all about many things and give y'all a little bit of insight on me. And, you know, We talk about success a lot. We talk about what's successful. Many people have different meanings and different, you know, versions of what success is. I tell everybody, success is what you think it is, what you set out to be. I can't look at you and say that you're successful and match or measure my life with your life. So if a person has six cars, you might not want six cars. You can only drive one car at a time. So two cars might be fine for you. One car, no car at all, might be fine for you. Just like a person might have four or five homes. That might not be your thing. So I think society and the way we are, the way we absorb things is based off of what we see, right? So we look and we see things. And we say, well, this person is doing this or this person is doing that. I'm doing this or not doing that. So then you could kind of get down on yourself, or people try to trick you into making you believe that you're some type of failure, or you didn't accomplish anything based off of your peers or other people. So now people will use other people as your measuring stick of where you should be in life. And I don't think that that's something that you should fall into, because they try to do that to me all the time and say, you know, I've had people say, well, this person passed you or that person did this and all that. And I'm like, well, that's your perception, but that don't mean that that's the reality, because a lot of people don't know the behind the scenes of the industry and what's really going on. And it ain't my business all the time to have to defend myself against something that, what am I defending myself against? It really doesn't make any sense. You know, so that's one thing I wanted to say. Now, growing up, I grew up with my grandmother. Shout out to Rose Clay for the donation. I keep a clear mind, the success, just the acknowledge of such. Thank you. I grew up with my grandmother and my mother died when I was 2 years old. So I didn't really know her too well. I didn't really know her too much. You know, she died when I was two. So what can you know as a 2 year old child? You know, and then by the time I was 6 years old, my father used to come around, but you know, I was a baby. I didn't really remember him too much. But then by the time I was 6 years old, my father was, you know, in my life fully. And he took me and we moved with him. I got other brothers and sisters, and he took me and I moved with him. So I'm 6 years old, always was with my cousin in Brooklyn. And then he took me and we moved to Staten Island when I was six. But then I came back, but I might get into that, or I might not, whatever. But, you know, long story short, short story long, shout out to Tragedy Gaddafi. He got me saying that for me watching him. Living with him, this was the mid-80s. And this is when crack first hit. And I don't know if anybody have drug addicted parents, drug addicted relatives. It is rough. It's really, really rough. And dealing with them as a parent, it could be even rougher because it's your parent. You know, your mother is smoking or your father smoking. Well, you know, one of your favorite uncles, or it might be one of your cousins, is getting high and, you know, doing the most for drugs, you know. So growing up, I saw that. But I started with seeing my father smoke weed and, you know, having the album covers with the weed and picking the seeds out the weed and, you know, doing this. I saw that, you know, growing up. And that was just weed, you know, wasn't a big thing. Or I seen him, he would have the weed in it looked like a film case. He would have it in that, or he would have it in a little manila envelope, you know. So I seen him smoke before, you know. I seen him smoke weed before, but then the drinking was in there. Now, this man, you know, my father in his I'm not going to defend him because he's not here to defend himself, but I'm also not going to condemn him. I seen him, you know, he's a Vietnam veteran. You know, he has four children. Their mother is dead. He's raising four children. You know, so at the end of it all, I don't know what he was going through. I don't know, you know, the pressures of his life, but he started, you know, he was a weed smoker, then he was a beer drinker, then he was an alcohol drinker, then he was smoking crack. You know, he was smoking crack. So, you know, I grew up with that and I saw that, and I remember him just always drinking beer, mad beer. You know what I'm saying? Just drinking mad beer, 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 beer. And then when the crack hit, that's when I seen his physical appearance change, the way he took care of us change, the way we were living change. Everything changed from him getting high, you know. And again, he suffered from substance abuse. As a grown man now, I can say, damn, it's messed up. I get it. But as a kid, you don't want to hear that. You just know that you're not getting no Christmas, you know, you're not getting no Christmas presents, you're not getting no school clothes, you're not getting any of these things that you might see other people get. And it's a pro and a con in that, because it teaches you the value of not having those things, but then it also can make you a little scorn you know, not having those things. So, you know, it, like I said, as a grown man now, I understand way, way more because I'm able to look back and understand certain things. So it just came a point in time where he was just a full blown crackhead, you know, not a crack smoker, just a crackhead. And I left and I moved back to Brooklyn. Well, my older brother took me when he turned 18 and became my legal guardian, but I was still a little kid. You know what I'm saying? So my older brother, 18 years old, inherited a little kid, you know what I'm saying? A preteen, you know, that he had to take care of, which is his father's son and his mother's son. His mother's not here. His father's a drug addict. So, you know, shout out to my brother for that, you know. But now I'm in a fight with my brother because I'm like 11 and he's 18 and he's my legal guardian. So he kind of think he my father, but you're not my father. But I don't really have a father because my father is a fiend. So this is where the streets come in and where I want to go out in the world and venture into the streets. I want to be a part of the street like my brother. You know, shout out to everybody in the chat room. I see you, but I'm really trying to stay on course and just tell y'all some stuff. My brother is a high school graduate. My brother is always had a job. My brother took some college courses. He, you know, he was fly, you know, but that's not what I saw for myself. I didn't want to be like him. But one thing that I did pick up that I felt was hereditary was the drinking. I started drinking at like 12 years old. Started drinking, you know, sipping, you know, we sipping a little beer. You know, we got Bacardi in the house. We sneaking the Bacardi. We drinking, you know, and I started drinking. So now I'm drinking. Now I'm like 12, 13 years old. You know, you drink your beers. Well, it starts with like drinking, you know, Bacardi. Then you sneak in the Bacardi, then you start drinking like a pink champagne and bottles and James and, you know, stuff that you can't really get a hold of as a kid. So what we would do, we would get older crackheads in the hood to go buy us beer, and they would do it. We were little kids, but we were drinking, you know. So it went from that to now we drinking 40s. You know, you're drinking 32 ounces, then you're drinking 64 ounces, then you're drinking 40s. So by the time I'm like 15 to 16, I'm a full blown alky. I'm an alcoholic. I drink every day. I drink beer every day. If I could get my hands on some liquor, I'm drinking that. You know, by this time also, I started dealing with music in the music industry. So it started going hand in hand, studio, drinking, women, partying, going to clubs, fighting, whipping people out, you know what I'm saying? Just being in the street life, but everything was about past that beer, past that 40, you know what I'm saying? I never smoked. I never tried a cigarette. I never tried weed in my life. And then, you know, I went on, you know, I was drinking for years, just drinking. Like I was, you know, I was always a big dude in weight. I'm only 6 feet, but mind you, at this time, I'm probably like 5'8", 5'7". I'm like, you know, 100 and I weigh what I weigh now. Back then, you know, I'm like 180 pounds, but I'm shorter, but I could drink. I'm in the street, you know, I'm with whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm with all the goon, crazy stuff. I'm with it. And it just became the norm. It became to the norm of I got half, you know, people, I got half, or what you got on my 40. You know, all of this became normal. So a lot of times when I see the youth now and they sipping lean and they smoking and they popping pills and all that, I say, well, that's what we was doing. We was just doing it with something different. You know, then we used to, I started drinking Cisco. I started drinking old Power Master. I started drinking I didn't drink like 50 cent beer, but any, you know, so-called fake upscale beer, I wanted it. I was drinking it. I'm a producer. I'm making beats. You know what I'm saying? Everybody coming to the crib and everybody getting drunk. You know what I'm saying? That's the deal. We all hang out. We drink. Dudes are smoking mad weed in front of me. You know, it wasn't a big deal. This is what we did, you know, but it was every single day. There was no days off. It was every single day, 365, dudes was drinking and smoking, 365. So one day, I remember being not feeling well. And I remember not feeling well. And I was scared to go to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I drank Boone's Farm too. Wow, you really bring it back. They sold that at the grocery stores down south when I went down south. But I remember not feeling well. And I remember being scared to go to the doctor. And I was scared to go to the doctor because I thought they was going to tell me I had a bad liver. I swear to you, I was only like 25. And I was saying to myself, man, if I go to the doctor, I know I got cirrhosis of the liver. I know I have liver problems. I know that I'm going to die because I drank every day. And, I went to the doctor, wasn't feeling well. And I remember them, you know, going through the tests and everything. You know, they did blood work and they was like, you need fluids, you know, you're a little dehydrated, you know, and they told me all this stuff. So I was waiting for them to lower the boom on me, but they never said to me, yo, you got a bad liver. So I was like, doctor, how's my liver? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, he was like, your liver, why are you asking me that? I said, because I drink. Or he said, no, your liver is fine. You know what I'm saying? But I remember, you know, having, stomach acid. And I remember going to the emergency room with bad stomach acid. And I remember the emergency room doctor saying to me, do you drink? And I was like, yeah, I drink. He said, well, maybe you should stop. So I'm like, stop drinking? How do I stop drinking? Like, why would I stop? Why, what are you talking about? Because it came with the lifestyle. It came with the hood. It came with the violence. It came with, you know, hanging out. And it came with being festive. It came with, this is what we do when we get together. This is what the homies do. We get up. Y'all gonna smoke. Some gonna smoke and drink. Some just gonna smoke. Some just gonna drink. But we all gonna get together, and this is how we be festive. So I remember I told the story of my homeboy, you know, my best friend getting killed when I was 17. I think I was 16 or 17, not sure. I was 16 or 17 years old, and that really drove me to drink more because, yo, I was depressed. And I ain't know it. I did, because in our community, what the hell is depression? Oh, you ain't feeling good? Oh, you need a drink. Oh, you feeling bad? Yo, you need to get a new girl. Oh, you feeling bad? Yo, let's go whip somebody's ass. So we cope with trauma and we cope with different things. And what we do is that we abuse ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We abuse ourselves. We do things to ourselves and we think that we're helping ourselves. But what we're doing is something called self-medicating or self-soothing. You know, so I used to, you know, I was getting drunk all the time, especially, you know, extremely violent. You know what I'm saying? I was extremely overweight. I was violent. I was angry. Because you know they killed my, you know, my brother got killed. You know what I'm saying? Like he dead. Like, what you mean? Like how is he dead? Who killed him? And I couldn't accept it. You know what I'm saying? Like I really, really, truly could not accept the fact that he was dead. Sometimes even till this day, I'd be like, damn, You know what I'm saying? He died in 1993. And it's still, you know, I've learned. That's what I'm going to go through with y'all. But, you know, I was getting drunk. And I remember one day I drank a fifth. Hennessy, we had a song called Drunk for No Reason. I think it might even be you two. One of them respected Drunk for No Reason. And it was like, in a part of the song, it say, yo, what's today's date? Fuck it, let's celebrate. And that was the motto, like, yo, let's just get drunk. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, what's today? Yo, today is Friday. Friday what? Friday the 5th. Well, let's get drunk. You know, that was the motto. And I remember one day sitting there and I drank a fifth of Hennessy by myself. And I didn't get drunk. It did nothing for me. I did not get drunk at all. And I remember sitting there saying, damn, you just drank a fifth of Hennessy and you not drunk? Where you go from here? You know what I'm saying? Where do you go from here? What do you do now? Where do you go from here? So I was stuck. Like, where do I go from here? And I remember just like, yo, you gotta quit drinking. You got to quit drinking. You got to stop. So I remember being like, I think I was like 26. Might have been like 26. And I was like, that's it. I quit. I'm not drinking no more. And I remember saying that, yo, that's it. I quit. And I remember some of the homies would come through like, yo, what we doing? And I'm like, yo, I'm chilling. And I'm gonna work on some music, but yo, I'm not drinking no more. And I remember people saying, what? You always do that. You always say you quit. You quit for a month or two and you go right back to drinking. You know, you ain't gonna quit. I said, nah, that's it. It's over for me. I can't do it no more, man. Like, I can't do it. I just can't do it, man. I drank a whole fifth of yak and I didn't get drunk. What do I do from there? Oh, nah, you just got to chill. You know, people, and again, this is the sickness of people rationalizing with me on what I can do to chill on drinking, to start drinking again. Nobody said, yo, you quit. I respect that. Because I need to quit. It was a, yo, you quit. You bugging. How could you quit? You know, how could you quit? So, that was 2002. You know, that was 2002 that the last time I drank was 2002. I never smoked in my life. And then when I stopped drinking, believe it or not, I went through a real bad depression. Depressive was my crutch. I didn't know that the liquor was my crutch. I didn't know that the liquor was what was keeping me going. I didn't know that. I didn't know that the liquor was keeping me afloat. I thought I had the drinking under control. You know, I drink every now and again, but I'm good. I didn't know that it was the liquor that was keeping me afloat. So when I stopped, I didn't know what to do. So now I'm really in shambles. So how do I cope with this feeling of feeling sad some days? How do I cope with this feeling of, you know, not being happy some days? I didn't know what to do. So I quit cold turkey. I didn't say, you know, let me have a drink every now and again, or no more liquor. I just do wine, or I just do beer every night. No, I quit completely. So I went through maybe like a year or 2 years of being completely depressed, completely, you know, what is life? I don't even know what life is. I don't want to do music. My life is just in shambles. My life is over. Mind you, I'm in my early 20s. You know what I'm saying? But I'm thinking, you know, life is over for me. So when I look at these young dudes and I see them going through what they're going through, I understand it because I was once them. That's why I don't talk down on them. That's why I don't disrespect the youth. And we call them, you know, they pill heads, this, that, and the third. You know, they I've been there. You know, many of them come from broken home, drug addicted parents. So I know what they're going through. So this, me telling y'all this, I'm not looking for no sympathy. I don't need nobody's sympathy. But there's millions of people who going through what I've gone through. And I want to tell you how I turned tragedy into my triumph. Again, people are always going to judge you and say, well, you're not this, you're not that. Listen, my triumph is my triumph because the goals that I set for myself, I always accomplish them. So the first thing I did was I said to myself, yo, you're sad. You are depressed. I didn't know what depression was. I didn't know what is that? Well, we don't talk about that in the hood. We don't talk about anxiety. What is depressed? Oh, you feel bad? Yo, I feel bad. You know how I'm gonna feel good? I'm gonna make somebody else feel bad. You know how I'm gonna feel good? I'm gonna go outside and punch somebody in their face. So a lot of times when people see me and I talk about a lot of street stuff and people be like, yo, he always trying to act like he tough. And it ain't that. It's just that I really, really, really was on some bullshit. And they say hurt people, hurt people. I am the living testament of that, because that's all I wanted to do was just hurt somebody else because I didn't realize the pain that I was in. So one day I was just like, yo, I need help. And I remember having my insurance, and I looked on the back of my insurance card and I just called the number. And when you're dealing with anything mental, you don't know that it's mental, because you like mental, like I'm not mentally ill. Like I don't talk to myself. I don't hear voices. I'm not drinking my piss. I bathe every day. So you get kind of confused of, so how y'all categorizing me? Where y'all putting me at? Like, you know, what are y'all talking about? I'm psych. Like, what are y'all talking about? I'm confused. You know what I'm saying? I'm confused. Like, what are y'all talking about? So I called the number and I remember making an appointment, and I remember went going down and, you know, I set up a meeting. And I talked to somebody. I went and sat down on somebody's couch and talked to somebody. And, you know, I just told him a lot of stuff that I've been through in my life. Now, good thing for me, right? I've never been sexually abused. Never. You know, never touched, never any, no inappropriate thing like that. But the mental abuse came from observation. What I saw and what I've been through. And then I didn't know that me being so violent was detrimental to me, because why was I so violent? You know what I'm saying? Like, why was I so angry? Why was I so, what? I slap you. You know what I'm saying? Because I really was on that type of time. So now when people see me and I'm so cool, calm, and collected about a lot of stuff, and I let a lot of stuff be shower water, like when dudes be on the internet saying how they going to slap me and they be lying on me. And then this one clown made a whole Instagram post about how he saw me and pulled a gun on me and all that stuff. I just got to look at that stuff and laugh, because it's not the truth, for one. Two, what could I do about it? You know what I'm saying? What could I do about it? People going to talk. What could I do about it? I can't say, oh, that's my word. Yo, I'm... Listen, man. The blessed don't have time to meddle with the miserable. I don't wake up thinking about men. I don't make posts about men. I don't watch men I don't get along with or don't like. And I don't deal with people who don't like me. If somebody has something to say about me, don't tag me in it. Don't bring it to my attention because I don't care. If that person knows me personally and they have my number, tell them to call me. Tell them to hit me up and talk to me. Because the minute a person so-called has a problem with me and they run to the internet opposed to talking to me, then you don't have a problem with me. You want attention. That goes for anybody. So that was one of the ways that I learned to cope with that. And it's learned behavior because some days I want to go off the deep end. And some days I have... might have, you know, did stuff outside that, you know, when I look back like, yo, you almost threw it all away. You know what I'm saying? So when I went to therapy, you tell your story. And one of the main things that you learn is coping mechanisms to deal with situations. Because when you're scared or you're in fear or some type of trauma or some type of rehashed situation comes back to you, your body reacts a certain way. Your mind reacts a certain way. Now, you could go into fight or flight. Now, fear could stand for two things. Face everything and recover, or fuck everything and run. You know what I'm saying? It's two different ways to look at fear. But fear hurts you. Fear hurts your body. Fear hurts you psychologically. Fear hurts your cells and your nerves. But we all in fear. Now, mind you, I lived in fear a lot of my life. I lived in fear because I used to be in the house by myself. Right? My father was out getting high. So I used to be in the house by myself. I never knew who was going to knock on the door. I never knew who's going to come to the house. I never knew what was going to happen. Then after that, it was the street life that I was in. So, and then my homeboy got killed. So, you know, I never knew. I had beef. I just never knew when is the day where I'm going to have to blow somebody's head off or get mine blown off or stabbed up, which I end up getting stabbed up. You know what I'm saying? I end up dealing with, you know, certain things again, but it all deals with the trauma that we go through. Now, during this therapy, and it was a white guy too, and he just gave me some real coping mechanisms. And I used to always come up with situations of what could be wrong. And if this happened, this is going to happen. You ever be sitting in the house and you're watching a commercial and it says, do you have mesothelioma? Do you have a tickling feeling in your chest? That could be mesothelioma. And I know I'm not saying that word right, but you can forgive me. You got mesothelioma. Do you have a tickling feeling in your chest? And you sitting there saying to yourself, yo, my chest be tickling sometimes. I got mesothelioma. So you created a problem that you don't have based off of your mind playing tricks on you and you not being, you know, mentally strong enough to say, I ain't got no damn mesothelioma, man. I'm good. But you think you got every side effect. You think you got every disease that come on. You be like, yo, I got mesothelioma. Yo, I got lung cancer. They gonna cut one of my lungs out. How I'm gonna breathe? How I'm a rap. I'm going to have to be on the ventilator. Damn, yo, I can't play ball no more. Yo, I'm going to have a scar on my chest. Now, these are all the things that you made up in your head based off of what you think and not what you know, because you don't have it, but this is what you do to yourself. This is what you do to yourself. And that's one of the things that I learned. Like, yo, what evidence do I have to support my claims? Because what I think has nothing to do with what I know. So that's why people be like, but I just feel like, or I be like, yo, man, I don't care how you feel. We all got feelings, but you know, that don't mean that your feelings are right and exact. That's just how you feel. But that don't mean how you feel is right and exact. That's just how you feel. You could be 100% in your feelings and be 100% wrong. You know, it just is what it is. You know, or one mesothelioma, I don't know how to pronounce that, but you know, one ill feeling, one ill thought just triggers, and then it starts spiraling out of control, depending on how deep your mind goes. You know, in my mind, this right here is, you know, I like to show my intelligence all the time because I'm not a fool, and I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to play a fool. I don't know how to do things for likes. I don't know how to, you know, be this super troll or this super person that I'm not for people to accept me that I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to do that. So during that, I learned to cope, and, you know, more and more I started getting better at how I viewed things, because, you know, everything has to do with your perception. And when you're under pressure to perform, when you're under pressure to be great at all times, you could succumb to that pressure. Now, here it is. Some of us on YouTube, some of us got platforms. Now, I'm not putting nobody else into that because, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying for myself, you know, I've been doing what I've been doing for a while. And again, the you know, people are always going to try to find chinks in your armor. And people are always going to try to find different things that trigger you. And you just can't be triggered. You know what I'm saying? You have to find a way to ignore many things because people get up every day to trigger other people. And I don't even, what do you get from it? I don't even know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know. And I tweeted something the other day and I put it on my Instagram and I said, I'm paraphrasing, but I said, people try to destroy people who contribute to, you know, culture, art, knowledge, and just showing people love and replace that with what? So people will go out their way to take you out, but they don't even have nothing to replace it with. They just don't fuck with him. You know what I'm saying? That's what people do. And I'm like, yo, hold on, man. Like, okay. I always looked at even holidays. If you take away Christmas from a child, what are you giving them? Because around it, it's coming once a year. And it starts tomorrow, believe it or not. It starts Black Friday. This is officially the first day of Christmas shopping. You go every store the kid go to, they're going to hear Christmas music. They're going to see it. They're going to see the tree. They're going to see the light. They're going to see everything. How do you say, oh, we don't celebrate that, we're not doing that, without looking like the evil bad guy? So you have to find a way to have them understand what's going on, you know, because it's a lot of people right now, even today on Thanksgiving, that's talking shit about Thanksgiving and they saying this and saying that, and people scrolling right past that. Or even liking and agreeing it with a big plate full of macaroni and cheese. Seriously. Every year you shouldn't be beating people in the head or just being grumpy. If people want to celebrate these holidays and you know better, fine. Because 9 times out of 10, you on the internet trying to get people to change their ways, but your own mother don't listen to you. You could say, yo, my name is, you know, I'm in son, all this, or yo, my name is, you know, natural, you know, not natural supreme Allah and all whatever, all that stuff. And then your mother be like, yo, Tyrone, if you don't get the fuck out of here with that. So again, why you want, I don't want people to follow me. It ain't about following me. It's about you being a better you. So I don't say nothing bad about that. People know what happened to the Native Americans. People already know. Why am I the once a year going to be that guy? Listen, if you're going to eat, you're going to eat. Who am I to tell you don't eat? Who am I to tell you don't be with your family? Who am I to be grumpy? Who am I to say, don't do this and don't do that? Or yeah, listen, man, shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? It's not my place. It ain't my place to tell you to stop drinking or smoking. I'm just telling you why I don't. Because it was an escape in that drinking that I didn't escape from. I really didn't escape from. Actually, it made me worse. And then when I stopped, I realized how bad I was and how long it kept me a slave to this bottle. Because I was the life of the party. You know, everybody could come to my crib. Yo, let's get drunk. Let's chill. Let's, you know, I'm the life of everything. And then I realized, yo, I have an addiction problem. How could this bottle control me? How could this feeling of being wanted by friends and women and being festive control my happiness? So now I don't hang with a bunch of people. Now I'm not going to say I'm a loner, but I deal with people who are like me in the way they carry themselves. And even if my friends or even they, I'm around, you know, people who might take a drink or smoke, that's on their thing. That's on them. You know what I'm saying? But for me, I have supreme focus. How could I say this without sounding crazy? I don't like 50 Cent. I like 50 Cent, the rapper, sometimes. But the person that was portrayed to me, I didn't like him. I don't like him. But then I listened to his audiobook. And then I realized that we had a lot of similarities because he don't drink or smoke either. And his reasonings for not drinking and smoking was so parallel to my life that I was like, wow. My cousin sent it to me and he said, yo, listen to this. I said, man, I don't want to listen to this nigga book. I don't want to listen to this nigga. This nigga's negative all the time. But when I listened to it and I got to this part, my cousin said, I knew that was going to resonate with you because he sound just like you. So I'm like, wow, here it is. 50 Cent got me, I think, by 2 years. I think he got me. But yeah, he got me by a few years. And the funny thing is how the similarities that we have. You know, so me looking past all the wild stuff he do, and it's probably a method to his madness, but it ain't my place to learn the method or care either. So he was like, he wants to be a machine. He wants to go to the gym. He wants to train. He wants to work. And I was like, yo, that sound just like me. All I want to do is be the greatest me I could be. I'm not here to talk down on nobody. I'm not here to sway your opinion on anybody. That's why I don't get involved in this little frivolous YouTube stuff. You know why? Because my peers, my successful peers. Hold on. Let me get you out of here. Cause the irony of, yeah, let me let you go. Yeah. I was like, yo, you gotta be a machine. You gotta be always ready. You always gotta, and him hearing him say that, I was like, damn, like, hold on. I think like 50 Cent. So I got kind of scared a little bit. I'm like, yo, hold on. I think like 50 Cent. Nah. But then I realized, you know, the similarity. So again, the only difference is I don't entertain stuff because it's not worth my attention. My attention is on me being a better me, doing what I need to do. And just straight up and down, always wanting to be focused. Now, you got people who are going to come and they're going to try to tell you why they smoke and all that. And like I said, this is not a lifestyle bashing thing. This is for me. This is for me. This is why I don't do what I don't do. And another thing is that basically I was raised without parents. I had parental figures, but I didn't have parents per se. I never wanted to embarrass anyone who was my caretaker. Even to this day. I never wanted to come on here drunk or high or smoking or drinking, and my own grandmother can't even look at me. Because I'm acting an ass. I'm drunk. I'm high. I'm blowing blunt smoke. And even if my grandmother accepted that I did that, even if she know I do that, but what about her friends and her peers? You know what I'm saying? What about her friends and her peers that might see me and say, damn, her grandson is an asshole. You know what I'm saying? So I never wanted to be an embarrassment. I feel like some of my subject matter, some of the things I'm talking about, a 14-year-old could watch me as well as a 24, as well as a 34, 44, and a 54, and a 64. It's just how you carry yourself. And I don't want to be an embarrassment. I don't want my family to look at me and say, damn, my uncle is an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Or you know, the little ones look at me like, yo, because they know about the violence. You know what I mean? They know about how, you know, I've handled stuff. They know about that. But when you're a grown man, you can't act like a little kid. You can't act like a child because you're grown now. So the funny thing is when I conquered my state of being sad and depressed. One day I got up and I looked in the mirror. And I literally looked in the mirror and I said, who the fuck is this? This is my exact words. And I had a scale in the bathroom and I stepped on the scale and the scale said 295 pounds. And I said, oh, wow. I didn't even realize that I was that heavy. I really didn't realize it. I was such in a state of denial, such in a state of not understanding me and knowing what I was about. I didn't realize it. So I had 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. The butter cookies, the one with the holes in them. And I had a pint of Ben and Jerry's. And I ate all of it that night. I ate all the cookies and I ate the ice cream. And I said, after I eat this, I'm never eating this again. I'm never eating this again. And, I went and got back on the scale and it said 300. And I said, damn, 300. I remember people saying, yo, Big Pun. I remember people saying, yo, Big Man, or the, you know, the heavy set guy. Or, and I used to be like, yo, who are they talking about? Because you know how other people view you and how you view yourself is just two different things. You know, the way you view me has nothing to do with how I view myself. You know what I'm saying? And one thing about me, I don't let people put titles and labels on me and live with it. So I was 300. And then I just remember saying, yo, that's it. After today, that's it. I'm completely changing my life. I'm completely changing the way I eat. I'm changing everything. And believe it or not, when you go and you try to make changes, people laugh at you. Because one of the first things I did was I started walking a lot. And you know, when you walk and you 300 pounds, what's you going to do? You're going to sweat. So I started walking and people would laugh. They're like, yo, you leaking. Yo, you sweating. I'm like, I just walked 4 blocks. You know what I'm saying? I just walked 4 blocks. But, you know, it's at one point in my life where I wouldn't even walk 4 blocks. I would take a cab everywhere. I would take a cab. I would always try to get a ride. You know what I'm saying? But I started walking. And then I went to Target and I bought a bike. And I would be riding. I would be on my bike. And people would laugh like, yo, what you doing with a bike? And I'm like, I'm riding it. Like, you know, one thing I didn't do is I didn't tell people that, yo, I'm trying to lose weight. I didn't go on Facebook and say, you know, next week I'm starting my diet. I never did none of that because I don't like people trying to talk me out of doing something that I know is healthy for me, or then people want to come and tell you how to do it. I don't know if y'all know. This could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. It could be a great thing. It could be a flaw. I know, but I don't listen to nobody. Why I don't listen to nobody? Because I only listen to people who I know love and care about me. I don't listen to people who just talk because they got a mouth, because I know, you know, what have you risked it all for? What have you put it all on the line for? So I'm not listening to you. You know, and people always say, well, I would have. I don't listen to I would have, because if people tell you to do something that's going to risk your safety or your freedom, they don't love you. I don't listen to people who don't love me. But people would say, yo, constructive criticism. I'd be like, yo, man, shut up. You know what I'm saying? You can't constructively criticize me unless you walked in my shoes, unless you walked the path that I walk. And then you can't even criticize me. You can give me suggestions. But how could you criticize me? You know what I'm saying? You can't criticize nobody. Who are you to criticize anyone? You know what I'm saying? So I remember, yo, within that first 30 days, I changed the way I ate. And people say, yo, man, you should do a book. You should teach people and all that. And I say, man, you know, what I did was so personal to me. And this might sound crazy. I don't even know if I want to share it with anybody. I don't know. You know, I don't even know if I want to talk to people about what I went through and what I did, because sadly, I feel like nobody really cares. Shout out to Lord Vishnu for the donation. I feel like nobody cares. You know, to me, it was a success story. To me, I was successful, but all I hear is people try to tell me is how I'm not successful. And I say, well, how I'm not successful? I lost 120 pounds. I didn't get no surgery. I didn't take no miracle pills. I didn't go on no crash diets. I didn't do none of that. All I did was find discipline within myself. I didn't go to the gym. All I did was change the way I ate, change the way I thought. The biggest weight that I had wasn't even on my body. It was in my mind. And when I was able to change how I thought, I was able to change how I eat. I was able to change what I ate. I was able to realize, hold on, food became my drug because I didn't have alcohol. You know what I'm saying? I didn't drink no more. So now I need a crutch. Now I got to find a crutch that's not going to be detrimental to my body, my mind, and my spirit. So what did I do? I started walking. And before I knew it, I would walk from my crib and I'd be in Queens somewhere. Before I knew it, I'd be walking. I'd be in Harlem from Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn. That's where I live. Before I knew it, I walked Prospect Park twice. Before I knew it, I rode my bike to Coney Island. And this was every day. This was what I was doing. Why? Because I didn't want to be a prisoner of my thoughts. I didn't want to be a prisoner of negativity. I lived in a neighborhood where I can't stand them bastards over there. You know what I'm saying? And it took everything in me not to kill people outside. I'm being real with y'all. So when I got up, I had to leave. I just would just leave. I wouldn't stay in the community. I wouldn't stay around the environment. Not because I couldn't, because I knew one day violence was going to ensue. Because here it is. This is Doggy Diamonds. He lives amongst us. He has a platform. He didn't. He's not doing nothing for me. He's not helping me. He don't put me on his platform. He didn't shoot no video for me. You know what I'm saying? And from that grows resentment. So what I would do, I would just get up and leave. I would just get up and leave the hood. Wasn't nothing there for me anyway. So I would get up. I would ride my bike. I would, you know, find missions to do. I would say, yo, man, I wonder if I could walk to the Bronx. And I would say, yo, go walk to the Bronx. Do it. Yo, you could do it. All you need is some water. You get a little hungry, get you a little bag of a trail mix. Yo, you could do it. And that's how I did it. So month one, I lost 40 pounds. But I'm still 260. 6 feet. Now, 40 pounds visibly, you'll see it, that a person has lost weight. But I'm still 260 pounds. So now I have to figure out, damn, okay, you lost 40 pounds in 30 days. Congratulations. It's visible. You know, you probably went down a pant size or two. But nah, like, you still 260. You still have to lose more weight. So then I said, you know what? This is not a diet. This is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle. Now, you are changing your life. This is not, you know, diets are temporary. You lose, you diet because you're going on vacation. You diet because somebody called you fat. You diet because you got a photo shoot. You diet because of different, you know, for different reasons. But a lifestyle is your life now. This is how you live your life now. So then I said, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. This is how I'm going to live my life. This is how I live. So from changing my lifestyle, I end up losing a total of 120 pounds. So I went from 300 to 179 and then... I don't show you people pictures when I was 179 because I started looking like a crackhead, you know, truthfully. So I didn't go to 179. I went up and now I walk around between 183 and 187. So that's how I walk around, you know. And during COVID, you're going to see the YouGuard interview. My face got a little bigger. I think I was probably like 200 pounds, which is not big. You know what I'm saying? It's not big for me. I'm 6 feet, but it's not how I want to look. And it's not how I feel I should be walking around. You know what I'm saying? So I, when the gyms open back up, I went to the gym. And I eat a certain way. Now today was, you know, a holiday, so I ate. You know what I'm saying? I ate. I had the itis. I took a nap. You know what I'm saying? I took a nap. I had the itis. I took a nap. I went to the gym earlier today too, believe it or not. And you know, I just really just be, you know, taking care of me. So a lot of times I don't come on here and go live a lot. I don't do some of the things that, you know, other people are doing with their platforms or whatever the case may be, but I do what make me happy because I come first. And I know that I never had to slut myself out. I never played myself. I never looked like a fool for people to click a like button. I never had to look at myself and say, damn, you played yourself. Even when Umar was disrespectful to me, you know what I'm saying? When Brother Polite said something I didn't like, I didn't even disrespect them back. You know what I'm saying? Umar, if you ever watch my response to him, what he's going through right now, I kind of knew was going to come to him, and I tried to warn him then. So it wasn't, you know, I didn't feel the need to attack him because he's under a lot of pressure. So he probably just lashes out the best way that he know how. If you know, if you disrespectful to him or whatever he do, so I just don't pay attention to it, and I don't have time to, you know, be fighting with people that, you know, and I said this before too. I said people be fighting with people that they could get money with or learn something from. But we feel we got to be combative with one another. We feel like, fuck that nigga. I don't know why I said, everything I'm saying to y'all tonight, if you go look at my interview with Queens Flip, I said all the same thing. You know, I said all of this. This is not something that I just woke up today and, talked about, you know what I'm saying? But this is this is something that's near and dear to me. But, you know, overall, I don't drink or smoke because I don't want to have a chemical dependency on anything. No matter how much money I have, it's an expensive habit. Also, I watch what my father went through, and I'm his son. I got his genes. I got his DNA. I don't know if I started smoking and drinking all the time, if I had the willpower to not become a crackhead or be a drug addict or sniff coke. I don't know. So what I did was I said, yo, I'm not messing with nothing. I'm not messing with no drug, no alcohol. I'm not doing it. I'm going to have supreme focus at all times. I'm going to do what I need to do for me. I'm going to smile. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to live life the way that I see fit. I don't have to judge other people. I don't have to put other people down. You know what I'm saying? And that's that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't, because I don't think it's something that's good for me. I don't think it's something that works for me. You know, and then I'm watching everybody, you know, I never smoked in my life ever. I never even put it to, you know, pause to my mouth. I never did that. Never. It's just my thing. So the deal is not smoking, not drinking, losing 120 pounds, building my own stuff, being, you know, I don't think y'all understand. Some people do and some people don't. I don't think people understand being in this industry and being a black heterosexual man. I'm not talking about male. Talk about man. So it's difficult. You know what I'm saying? It's very difficult because I have so many things to fight. I have so many people against me because I don't fit. Listen, what crowd do I fit in? I don't fit into, yo, let's drink crowd. I don't fit into the Let's Smoke crowd. I don't fit in with the fun boys. I don't fit in with the white boys. I don't fit in with the nerds. And I don't want to be around the gangsters. You know what I'm saying? Been there, done that. It's nothing going to come from that. So it's very difficult. So when people look and they say, oh, you don't have this and that, I say, well, how you know what I got? I don't brag. My little brother Ether went with me when I went to the dealership. He watched, you know, and I never put that publicly. You know why? Because we don't brag about things that we prayed for. You know, we don't brag about things that we earn. It's nothing to brag about. You know what I'm saying? So I haven't drinking any liquor of any sort since 2002. So that's 18 years. You know what I'm saying? 18 years. I don't, you know, and then the lights start hurting me. I'm putting these glasses out. I'm about to get some different lights too. So I hope, you know. So, you know, again, my thing is to do what's right for me, do what I need to do for me, and get away from the detractors and the naysayers. You know, if somebody got something to say or whatever, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? You get on my nerves a little bit, I'm just going to block you. I'm not going to be trolled. I'm not going to be bullied. You're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what any of those things are. You know, I have a podcast network. I had a few deals, working on some new stuff. Try to put people on, try to help people. Some things didn't go correct. I don't always know what I'm doing, but you know, anything that I get, I've always extended to people. You know what I'm saying? Like I've always extended to, yo, I don't know, but huh. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to be a little rougher for some of us. It's going to be a little tougher. Ain't no shortcuts to manhood. I mean, just be real with you. And I'm never going to play myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to do things that my grandmother and the children in my family and the youth in my family can't look at me and say, that's my uncle. Or that's my cousin, or that's my grandson, or that's my nephew. I'm just not doing that. I'm never going to be in here wilding and just going off the deep end. You know what I mean? To get a like. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I move the way I do. That's why I carry myself the way I carry myself. And again, you know, to each his own. To whatever you do is whatever you do. But I just know where I'm at with it. I know why. You know what I'm saying? I know why I don't. And I admit stuff. One thing about me, I admit stuff. One of my greatest assets is that I like to admit when I'm wrong too. When I'm wrong, and you know, I like to say, yo, nah, that's my bad. You know what I'm saying? My bad. So again, this is not a video knocking anybody who drinks or smokes. This is not a video telling you what you should do. This is the reason why I don't do it. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. And if you feel like you want to quit doing something and you want to change things about yourself, only advice I could give you is do it. Seriously, do it. Everything starts with that first step. You got to take that first step towards the direction of what you want to do. And that's just me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really a robot. I'm really like, yo, hold on. No, what? I can't. What? Oh, no. Watch. So, you know, I be in here. You know, I be in here, I learn Photoshop, I learn Sony Vegas, I got mixing boards, I got lights, I got cameras, I just sit here and I just want to be a sponge. According to society standards, I'm a failure because I don't have a high school diploma or GED. I dropped out of school, high school in ninth grade, so I'm not educated by society standards. But look at the things that look at the knowledge that I obtained, you know, look at the knowledge that I have. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a sponge for knowledge. Sponge. I just love it. Oh, word? Oh, that's how you? Oh, no, I gotta, I gotta lose. I gotta figure that out. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I am. You know what I'm saying? So for anybody out there who wanna, you know, change, yo, it start with you. It don't start with other people. It don't start with people's opinion. It don't start with none of that. Yo, it start with you. You know what I'm saying? And again, I know YouTube has like a shadow ban on me. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? I figure it out. I'm aware. I don't own this platform. You know what I'm saying? Because I be doing stuff and I just look at the views that I get and I just know that they just doing me dirty. But it's cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to brag about views. I got over 300 million views on YouTube and I can show people. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, that's for bragging rights. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to brag. I don't have to impress anybody. You know, I live for me. I'm not here to chase any women. I'm not here to look good in the eyes of other men. I don't have to do none of that. I'm happy with me, happy with myself. I'm happy with my progress in life and I got work to do. And that's just what I do. That's what I get up every day. I already know what I'm doing tomorrow. Y'all, seriously, tomorrow's Friday. I got promotion to do. I got an interview to do tomorrow. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And I depend on me. I roll with me and I talk to people who I know care about me, who got my back. Nobody who's jealous of me. Nobody who I helped and then one day be disrespectful. So that's why when you see me, I used to be cool and chummy with certain people and rock with certain people. And I don't be around them no more. You don't see them on my platform. Or I don't deal with them. It's because how they carry themselves. And sometimes how other people carry themselves, I feel is detrimental to me. That's not the company I want to keep because I feel like the people I'm around is a reflection of me. And if I can't pull you up, I damn sure ain't letting you pull me down. And I'm never, ever going to look like an asshole in front of thousands of people. Never. Just ain't going to do it. It's not me. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. So with that, I'm Doggy Diamonds again. Shout out to the people who sponsored this show. And that would be, you see the banners, blackandpriceless.com. Wolves Are Not Involved in Sheep Talk. That is real. Also, the book, Three Black Boys. Wait for it to come back up. Three Black Boys, Tomorrow After Supper by Zangba Thompson. The links to the book is in the description box, as well as the links to the clothing, Black and Priceless. They sent me a lot of stuff that I got to wear one day. But I'm trying to think of what show I wore it on. But, I wore it. But shout out to them. Again, if you want to sponsor this show, hit me, info@DoggyDiamondsTV. That's my email. No Filter Podcast on iTunes. If you're driving in your car and you just want to listen to audio and you don't have time to look at YouTube because commercials or whatever, you could download if you have an iPhone, iTunes. Also, I'm on Spotify, Doggy Diamonds No Filter. Got some other stuff coming up. And also, I need everybody to hit that like before I go because I got like 300 people in here. Because if I can get 300 likes, I'll be definitely, I don't ask for much. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing something called No Whack Weekends. Saturday night is No Whack Bars. I'm changing it from No Fluff Bars to No Whack Bars. That is the new name, No Whack Bars. I'm not doing No Fluff Bars for other reasons that I'm not even going to get into. You know what I'm saying? But this is the new thing. Yeah, No Whack Bars. You see that? Hold on. Let me cut off the logo so you can see. Yeah, No Whack Bars. Pinned to the top of the chat is the clothing where you could cop a hoodie, a face mask, or a neck face mask, a mask, or a hoodie. You know what I'm saying? So Saturday night, y'all call in. Let's hear these bars. No Whack Bars. I was a little lenient last time. This time, if your balls is whack, I'm going to hang up on you. I got to get you out of here. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. And then Sunday night, I'm going to work on no whack beats. So every weekend, we going to deal with no whack weekends. You know what I'm saying? So you hearing it here first. Again, I'm going to make some more announcements. No whack bars is definitely this Saturday night at 10 p.m., 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call in. I'm letting everybody rock. You know what I'm saying? If you rap, call in. The producer thing, I'm going to be doing that a little different. So, you know, I'll holler at y'all about that in the next couple of, well, soon, because I'm working on some stuff for that. But I got to get a special email where I got to take submissions of beats. And it's a lot of work that I got to do. So I might be charging the producers like $25 to play. I play your beat live and give you, you know, all that. So Saturday night is no whack bars. Sundays is no whack beats. So no whack weekends. You know what I'm saying? So every weekend we're going to be lit. It's not going to be 2 hours. It might be an hour Saturday night and an hour Sunday night. That's it. Or even the beats thing might even be short. It might be a half hour. But, you know, I just wanted to do something to get to share my platform with a lot of creative people. That's what I've been doing since y'all first saw me, and I'm not going to stop. So I just wanted to find a way to, you know, find new talent. We're talking about, yo, we need this. Well, let's be responsible for ushering in the new people. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, YouTube did me dirty. That's why I say go to iTunes, listen to me, you know, hit the like button, you know, different things. But I just gave y'all a little bit of my life today. Many people don't share their life with people, but you know, I don't mind because I have nothing to hide. I'm not ashamed of anything. You know what I'm saying? And I don't walk around in shame. I have nothing to be ashamed about. So it's no winner. I don't want to do winners. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing about me. I don't want to do winners and losers. Everybody's a winner to me. You know what I'm saying? In their own way and their own right. So I don't want to put people against each other. Just want to showcase people, you know, and then y'all decide, you know, y'all pick who's a winner, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got to do it like that. I don't want to do winners and losers, but, you know, I might select somebody who I think is super, super dope and give them an interview, you know what I'm saying? So I figure it out and, you know, we just talk to them live, but I'm just want to be responsible for, you know, just like, you know, people don't know, I brought y'all Fetty Wap, I brought y'all Dave East, I brought y'all Nipsey early on in 2009. This is all documented. It's the only thing I love about the internet is that a lot of stuff have a digital fingerprint and you can see who brought the people first. And you go back to a lot of people, you know, even Benny the Butcher, which I have to re-upload the Benny the Butcher interview because it got erased. Now, that's a whole nother story. I did a mistake. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I brought you a lot of people first that you never saw, you know, and then when I did, people used to be like, yeah, who is these people? Like, why are you interviewing these people? And then now look, you know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. But yeah, I'm Doggy Diamonds. I have to go. I still got the itis, but I came on here to just build with y'all. And yeah, that's it. So again, pinned to the top of the chat is the No Whack Bars merch. And, you know, Cash App and everything is, you know, it is what it is. So follow me on all social media. I'm out of here. I'm Doggy Diamonds. I will holler at y'all again. But for now,
I'm out of this bitch. Peace.
All right, all right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this.